This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. Actually, we're not driving home. And it's not just me. It's a special podcast. And Amber has her hand over in her mouth. Oh, she's out of because she's new to all this. So, okay, watch for me because I have to go out down there, right? It's something different. I don't actually know where I'm going. But anyways, this is the... Am I getting there?
One way or the other.
Yeah, okay, I'm going this way. Okay, do these people want to come through? Yeah, they're coming. Okay, they're coming. We're coming.
Watch out for that rogue behind you.
Yes, the rogue.
Nissan Rogue.
Oh, is there a Nissan Rogue? Oh, strangely inappropriate.
What?
What? So anyways, there's so much new stuff here. So this is that I have to remember because I normally don't do all this stuff in the podcast. I just go and it's just by me, but there's so many friends here. So this is the second annual, and it appears this is going to be a tradition if Disney World and Lucasfilms has anything to say about it. It is going to be the second annual, and it's going to be a tradition, it looks like, the Star Wars, which this way, Star Wars review. So, we just went to see Rogue One. We all saw it together. I put down an edict that no one was supposed to talk during Rogue One, but it seems like I heard quite a bit of chatter coming from my son-in-law's direction over there. We're all looking. We're all looking, but I should introduce everybody who's in the car at this point. So I'm here. My beloved Lynette is here.
Hello.
She's been taking hormone treatments because she's ready to transition. And I'm trying to figure out how I feel about that. I never thought it would be her doing the transitioning. So, but that's a whole other joke.
TMI! So,
I also have...
That raises questions.
I also have... Our beloved daughter is in the car.
Hello!
Hello, Elizabeth, which you know from previous podcasts, as well as our beloved son-in-law.
Hello!
Alan, which you know from previous podcasts, and today and in the future, we have a special guest who is just part of the gang now, Amber Jones, who is now living with us. Woo! And the thing about it is, this is an unbelievable treat because we got in there, we're sitting down, we're ready to start watching this movie. And I hear for the first time that, in fact, Amber Jones has never seen a Star Wars movie before. Is that true?
It's true.
That's amazing.
I have avoided it for this long.
So, I think it only appropriate that we would give Amber the very first shot. The very first shot. Now, okay, anyone who's listening to this podcast, if you have not seen Rogue One yet, you should just shut off the podcast because we are not going to make any attempt at all to not put spoilers in this. So we're just talking about the movie. So, fair warning, we'll give you the 3-second pause. And we're off. Okay, Amber, what did you think?
Oh, well, I followed along. I think I understood everything, but the first part of the movie, I was trying to figure out who were the good guys and who were the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And so for the first little bit, I thought the Imperial were the good guys.
Yeah.
Because the Rebels were the bad guys.
Because they're the big business corporation.
And they were
Well, no, but your hero Rebel right at the beginning makes a poor choice.
Oh, that's true.
So
he's conflicted right from the start. So
boom.
It's confusing.
That's true.
Why is that a poor choice?
He killed the guy.
Friendly guy because he was crippled.
No, yeah. He killed the friendly guy because the friendly guy was going to go and be tortured. He saved him.
But the guy didn't ask him to. If he'd been like, just kill me, that's one thing. But the guy's just like, it's going to be okay. Pew! And that's it.
He's just a quicker thinker than the crippled guy.
Okay. So getting back to Amber. Okay, so yes, then?
And then next I was intrigued by the stormtroopers because they sound like space cowboys. A little bit of John Wayne.
Yeah.
And
my wife has been very sick, by the way. That's like, why she's all. That's why she's coughing.
He's kind of a secretive figure, so yeah. That's why he wasn't ever.
So have we ever seen the Emperor?
Yes.
No, not in this movie.
Not in this movie. He was not in the history of Star Wars. Yeah. Have we seen the Emperor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But his identity is a secret for a long time.
Yes.
So. And I'm pretty sure that K2 died when the blind guy did the slingshot and it hit a rock and then a whole bunch of, like, an explosion came straight to the ship in K2. But then there he was with the pilot. Like, I'm pretty sure he died.
Possibly.
When they were near the tower. I don't know.
Where the planet where the dad died?
Yeah, on the planet where the dad died.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Some of those things, it's just easier to see it twice and then go, wait a minute.
They made it look like that, too.
You thought that? You saw that?
Yeah.
Because I thought he died there.
Yeah. All right, and? Anything else? Overall, your impression of Star Wars overall?
Yeah, it's good.
Makes you want to watch all the rest of them?
give you a hankering?
I enjoy the leaders, the red leader, the blue leader, and the gold leader.
Yeah, they're
pretty comical.
Yeah.
It's funny to me because, like, it's this world that they've created, and then somebody starts talking, and it's funny because their accent pops out.
Right.
Like, well, and a couple of them had, like, a southern accent, which was funny to me.
Right.
Because you don't expect that. Like, you don't expect that.
You expect some consistency in the...
speech pattern, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. I think that's diversity. That's what we call that.
Oh, and then at the end was... Oh, yeah, we don't want any diversity. Okay. And then at the end, the blonde guy that came in... to tell, I don't know, he was a blonde guy and he came in on a Imperial ship.
Oh, he was like the director guy?
No, he was one of the blonde, I'm asking because I'm asking if he was the same guy that was in the Alliance.
Oh.
Did we not expect that? Was he the same guy? There was a blonde guy in the Alliance.
Uh-huh.
That was talking to Cassian. And then there was another blonde guy that looked just like him at the end that was either talking to not the...
So he was like a spy, is what you're saying.
I'm asking if it was...
I didn't notice that.
I didn't notice either. But
maybe.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So, overall, do you like the ships and the explosions?
I really liked because it's always interesting to me on the Earth's atmosphere, like, because I don't think there's a hard, like, there's nothing hard that you have to penetrate.
Right,
it's just
right,
like you've,
right.
can, I guess, fall into the Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
And so that's always been interesting to me. So you got to see a lot of that, I feel like. And then they put that force field up, and I was like, wait a second, that's not supposed to be there.
Right.
So that was interesting. I knew it was
the
there.
The shield.
That's kind of an interesting idea. So.
Well, it's probably like a terraforming thing or something, right? Like, they had to hold the atmosphere
in. One of the basic problems that you have with trying to defend a planet is they're big.
Right.
And
lots of points of entry.
It's really, really hard. And that was kind of one of the first things. And it's always... Maybe just because I'm thinking about it from the windfall position, but it's always difficult because as soon as you, from a technological standpoint, go up and you establish some sort of planetary defense, or you establish some sort of planetary sensors, then you've got these spaceships that are flying, you know, for a long time to get to this planet. How do you ever sneak in?
Right.
That's what it gets to. How in the world do you ever sneak in? Because they see you coming from a long way away. I suppose you could do your hyper jump into the atmosphere, but that's supposed to be really bad, I think.
According to all the science fiction we've ever explored.
Well, sorry, Amber, you haven't seen this movie. But if you go to 7,
yeah.
Don't they light up up the Millennium Falcon? They light up the Millennium Falcon while it's still in the atmosphere, and everybody's like, oh, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah.
Of course.
Anyways, so we got a couple of different ways we could do this. We could either give our opinions of the movies, or we could just work our way through the movie and just make our comments as we go. Mm-hmm. Do you got any preferences? Or should we just start shooting thoughts?
I would kind of give some plot points as we go, and because that might help remind.
Right. There was one point when Nett leaned over to me and said, what is he playing, his Game Boy there? Because I don't know if you remember, it was right at the beginning where they were taking off from one of the Imperial bases, and there was a guy up there in the guard tower, and he was looking across the horizon like he had some kind of a gun, but it sure just like he had like a little gamepad.
No, I didn't say his Game Boy.
Oh.
I said, does he have the remote control? It looked like he was remote control operating the little drone.
He was remote controlling as he was plane. Going yeah. across. Yeah. yeah. So,
Spaceship.
No.
I felt like the beginning, I don't know. I mean, you know, you never know until you're the one in there actually doing it. But I felt like the way they handled the exposition was a little jarring. I felt like they were trying to cram a bunch of stuff. Okay, we're here now, we're here now, we're here now, we're here now. Bam, 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 bam. And I know they were trying to get everything set up so they could weave it together. But it just seems like there ought to have been a better way.
Yeah, and they're obviously everybody's waiting for the big battle at the end.
Right.
And that's one thing that about this movie, they're coming into it cold, so they don't have any characters established. So you've got to start from ground zero, try to build up some characters, try to get all these plates spinning at the same time.
Well, and I guess
time.
I have to go back, because the opening sequence was fine. I was fine with the actual opening, pre the title screen.
Like when they were in Iceland or wherever they were with the
when it was Galen and his family and they were coming in. That whole sequence I felt
I think
was
that's
nice.
Iceland.
Iceland?
I think.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
I don't know.
Beyond location.
Yeah. I don't know that they called it that.
And then you hit the title screen and she's in prison, and then there's like things happen in really quick succession, bouncing from place to place with all those little, now we're on this planet, now we're on that planet, now we're on, you know, and I just felt like there was
I did hear the guy beside me ask his wife, he's like, now is that supposed to be the little girl? Because it was like, they showed her and it looked like she was in prison, which is like what you didn't expect from how they said they were going to take care of her.
Right.
But the one thing that they did really well is that little bitty girl and Jen both have the same teeth. Like, their teeth were very distinguishable.
I didn't notice that. You noticed some interesting things.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. In the beginning, one of the things that really bugged me in the beginning, and it literally did bug me through the whole movie, was the music.
Oh.
Because the music was close to the Star Wars themes, but then it would just take off in a different direction. Mm. And it felt to me like those situations where there's really an iconic music theme, but they don't want to pay the rights. And so what they do is they change about 4 or 5 notes in it, like it's the James Bond theme, you know, but it's, you know, and it's like, I know what you're going for there, but that ain't it. And I just kept feeling, and then every once in a while when you had a character who was from the original Star Wars movies and they actually played the right theme, you know, it'd be like, right, there it is. And so anyways,
speaking of things that are just slightly off,
I
don't know if it bothered anybody else but me, but I felt like the uncanny boundary was still firmly in place.
Uncanny Valley,
I couldn't remember what it was called.
Yes,
with that guy. the nose guy. I hated it every time he was on screen because it wasn't right. And I almost would have preferred...
Tarkin.
What?
Tarkin.
Tarkin. I almost would have preferred that they just get a new actor
and
do it close, get as close as they could, and then somehow communicate to us, this is that guy, and then just use the new actor.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Leia at the end. Let's just not show her face, please.
That is...
Because that was all digital.
Oh, yeah.
So the guy with the bird nose and the gray hair...
Right, Tarkin.
And,
Tarkin.
And then Leia at the end, their faces were digital.
Yeah.
And so when they speak, it's just...
It's this... I know. That was... It was painful.
Well, the worst was when they were trying to show emotion with him.
Yeah. Right.
When he would get angry. It wasn't good.
Well, and for me, what it did for me, in addition to the fact that it was... It just was... There was this dissonance about it, was that then after that, I'm thinking about the making of the movie. I'm thinking about, these shots are all taken at different times. And then they spliced it together. Yeah. Oh, when she's dodging that bullet, there's really nothing going on. Right. She's just hopping behind that wall. So, like, then for a while after those sequences, I am not able to suspend my disbelief.
Right.
When was the guy with the beak?
The main guy who relieved the other main guy.
So the main guy that was in white.
We do such a good job of
the
explaining.
The guy that was in charge of building the scar that were white. And the guy that was his boss.
They came in and told him we want the test and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yes, that guy. He was all digital. He was a character from the original movie.
Oh, but I get what you're saying, because they had them both turn around, and then, like, I got the sense whenever he turned around that he was somebody, like, important, but I didn't know, have a reference, so I was like, you know, like when a comedian tells their joke and everyone starts to laugh because they know the setup, like, I felt like that was happening, but but then he turned around and he didn't look extremely weird to me, or like he wasn't scary, or like half his face wasn't gnawed off or something.
Well, you're saying, on IMDb is saying an ink-veiled Delia was Princess Leia.
Well, they probably just
put sensors on her face.
Yeah,
on her face.
They were safe.
And
then
same thing with
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the Layla thing. I didn't like it.
It's the first movie that you've seen. But the problem is that we've got all these memories echoing back for 20 years of Princess Leia, what she looked like, you know, especially what she looked like in the slave costume.
You're speaking pretty broadly.
And so we remember that, and then when this digital representation of it turns around, and you're waiting for, there she is again, and it's just like, wait, what?
I felt that was an interesting decision.
It did throw me off, because is this supposed to be before or after? Is this, where is this in the timeline of things?
Between 3 and 4.
Yes.
Before 4. So right before the first original one.
Right. The first...
Which I didn't get either.
Original
movie. The first original one is number 3?
Number 4.
No, number 4.
Okay.
In the credit roll of the... Not credit roll, but in the first role of what's going on. What do they call that?
New Hope? No.
Yeah, New Hope, but the when it runs at the beginning.
Oh.
The what? The crawl? I don't know. In the crawl at the beginning of A New Hope, it specifically refers to the stealing the plans for the Death Star.
Oh, and this is them going
look
back
up,
in.
So
this is
the sweetie, story look up of opening crawl Star Wars A
and
New
the Death
Hope.
Star was that big thing with, like,
the character Forest Whitaker played, I thought they were saying Saul, S-A-U-L.
Uh-huh.
They've got on IMDb, Saw, S-A-W.
And what was Jen's last name? Because I kept
Urso?
Hearing Asso, and I thought, that's not right.
I heard Urso.
Urso?
That's what I was
saying. E-R-S-O, Urso.
Urso, okay.
J-Y-N. E-R-S-O.
Maybe it was the English accents. accents.
And Alan Tudyk, I couldn't figure out who he was. He was the voice of K-2-S-O.
Okay, because I just kept hearing Arso, and I thought, who named this character? But anyways, so the other thing that I would like to go back and watch it again is I had a bit of dissonance when they destroyed the first city on the planet.
Right, the Crystal City.
Yeah, whatever, the Crystal City. I had a bit of dissonance there because they did most of the shots in seeing all of that destruction were from overhead, from the Death Star, and then they did one side shot up in orbit. And as I recall, you had all the cloud cover of the planet, and then you had this big plume that was coming up out of all those clouds.
Very high.
Very
high. Is that when they were doing the test?
That first test.
So it looked like it was almost going to reach them.
Yeah, and then they cut back to the overhead shot, and all you had was crystal clear sky, desert, and the plume still coming up. And I thought, that didn't look right.
Those clouds just went away really fast.
I know, just boom.
They're in the Death Star?
Yes.
And that's what they're shooting from? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. That big globe, that's the Death Star.
And the dipole is like a
parabolic dish.
Yeah, it's a dish that actually shoots the weapon.
Yeah.
So, I thought Forrest Whitaker was a high point.
Yes, yes, I thought he did. There was one line of dialogue that he did that I just thought, that doesn't feel right, but I can't remember what it was.
I felt like the first, third of the movie or so, they were just filling time. Like, there was a lot of one lines.
Yeah.
Here, and then some running around, and then a line here, and then some running around. Right. Like, it was like they didn't have enough material quite to
All of the humor was like punchline humor. It was all stand-up comedy humor.
I don't know that I actually laughed during the movie. I mean, there were lots of little one-liners that kind of harkened back to some of the original stuff. Mm. But
yeah.
I didn't feel like any of it was particularly...
Although, without question, droid humor is always better than Jar Jar Binks humor.
That's true. But the interplay that you would get between somebody like a Chewbacca and Han Solo that would just keep tumbling forward when they were in, like, this high-stress situation and they're jabbering and bickering at each other back and forth, that was one of the things. This one, it was just like, oh, wait, 4 minutes has gone by. We need to crack a joke. And then somebody would, you know... the line.
I would say, Amber, that probably a lot of the stuff that you were particularly was jarring for you with the Western accents and stuff, that was all from, I mean, because I think what was so jarring about it was you had this modern movie where they used a lot of pieces from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And really, some of those exact characters, Red Leader, Blue Leader, well, Blue Leader, I think, was dead, but Red Leader, specifically Gold Leader, those guys were in the original. They were actually in number 4.
Right.
And those same people. In fact, I think they had the actual actors there. And that...
Oh, cool.
Those Red Leader standing by, all of that may have even been original audio or something from those movies to try to pull it together. so I think that's part of what was so interesting there.
I thought the cameo was a little cheesy.
R2-D2.
Yeah. The R2-D2, C-3PO thing. Because then for like the next three minutes, I'm trying to figure out, wait, where are we on the timelines? And are they supposed to be here?
Yeah, no, I was too.
Like, I'm trying to place, wait a minute. What?
Because then I did the same thing. I was thinking back, okay, wait. When we see R2-D2 for the first time, it's with Princess Leia in movie 4. And where is C-3PO? Yeah. And how did he get, you know? Yeah. But they were trying to make the connections. Yeah. You know, trying to make the connections. So.
Well, and they've been in every single one.
Right.
Including 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. I did thought, maybe this is just...
You did thought.
I done did think. When the Death Star missed the installation and just blew off the top, I thought, who is aiming that thing? And
was that specifically was supposed to be showing them missing?
Well, they had to have time to hug each other.
Did he say target?
I don't know what he said to target, but I thought that same too.
Target the installation. Yeah. And all it did was clip off the antenna.
Well, yeah, they didn't have their A game up there.
No, it's like, what?
They had just dropped in out of hyperdrive. They were not really focused.
Okay, the original New Hope crawl.
Okay, here's the original New Hope crawl.
It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy.
Okay, see, and obviously George Lucas, when he wrote that, you know, maybe didn't have a fleshed out backstory, but it was a way of dropping in. And then I think one of the guys who had, I can't remember the exact story, but one of the guys who had worked on the original movie had always thought that if you were going to do a non-saga, something not to do with Luke Skywalker's bloodline, non-saga story, that that would be a good place to start. And so he pitched it, and then somebody else picked it up, and that's, and so that's where it came from.
What's, so, oh, sorry, go ahead.
So this one happens immediately before
well,
the beginning
of 4. Well, which
doesn't
work for me, because literally, I mean, if you start number 4, it is that that Star Destroyer, which is the big triangular ship that Darth Vader is on, right over the top of Leia's ship. Well, wait a second, that's supposed to be happening right over Tatooine, which is a long ways away, I would think.
Well, they eat chase us to chase her, and then they catch her.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're
because the bay door was open and everything. Like, the whole, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Although the bay door was of the good guy's ship. So.
Right. So, I mean, there might have been a little space, right. But maybe I mischose the word immediately. Perhaps there's hours or something.
And that's the other thing I would say, Amber, about even their costuming. The costuming, they were working toward that final scene, because that's the goofy costumes from the original episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were working towards, like, those big helmet things. The helmets.
All the
helmets.
Stuff.
Yeah,
no way
they would
the
sun hats.
Saucer.
Yeah,
the saucer.
Yeah, they had the stormtrooper helmets that can be turned upside down and made the happy alien.
Yeah.
Are there people, are the stormtroopers people inside suits, or is that just how they look?
No, they're humans inside
the suits. And then what's the difference between, like, the tan, like, desert stormtrooper and the
that's the first time I can recall.
The white ones and the tan ones, I think.
Right.
In the battle, had both. The other thing that I thought, guys, you know, when the team was brought aboard when they landed on S-what?
S-what?
The planet.
The last one with the
Scarif. Yeah.
Okay. When they landed there, got permission to land, and the inspection team came aboard, and they knocked them out, and they put on, you know, their outfits. Why didn't they put on some stormtrooper outfits?
That's what
on
I
some
thought.
Other guys?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I leaned over to Liz at that point and said, hey, that's not Bob.
Yeah, I know. Well, and, oh, look, they just happen to have a size 2 outfit, for her. And so she comes in, and one of the first things she does is flip up her visor because, you know, we won't know that's her in there unless they do it. But it's like, look, I have mascara on. I'm a little girl. Yeah. You know, I mean,
the droid, too, right? Because they didn't go in with a droid. And then they came out with the droid.
Yeah, right. No, right. Yeah. But, you know.
My big thing, and this is an eternal problem, I think, with Star Wars. it is one of those built into the fabric of the universe. There's really no good way around it. Is Darth Vader standing there watching the ship float away? Right. And all I can think is Yoda saying, big, small, there is no size.
Matter.
Because in the Force,
it's
everywhere, in everything. And so why doesn't he just stop the ship?
Right.
Like, that's, you know, that is the eternal problem, though.
Right.
Because if Darth Vader really was all-powerful, the rest of the story would be a moot point.
Right. Yeah, no, when that happened, the thought that ran through my mind was, so does Darth Vader have a limit on his distance or something? Why is he just standing there watching?
Did that happen at the end?
Right at the end, the ship was getting away.
I guess I didn't understand what happened at the end because I was with it and I was like, okay. And then they're like, we're prepared a hyper shoot or whatever. And so they all start doing, and then they all start crashing into this big white thing that all of a sudden appears.
Yes, because that ship, that's an Imperial Star Destroyer.
That's Vader's ship.
Oh, that's Vader's ship.
So
it came out of. Yeah, Darth Vader showed up then. And he's the
big guy. So they were trying to go out one direction. He came in the other direction, and a few of them got out, but then a few of them crashed right into him.
Right.
Okay, so does Darth Vader live in a a vat of goo, or did they catch him in the shower?
I don't know. That's, well, I noticed that he built his shower right over a laser blade.
Well, that's where
lava pit. You know,
so, isn't that where things went bad for him?
Oh, maybe, maybe that's that planet. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay.
Okay, and so then there were the men, and they were trying to, they took something, they pulled something out of something.
Mm-hmm. It was that data, the data card? Are you talking
was
about
that the data card?
I think that was the copy of the data that then they took to Princess Leia.
For the Death Star.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Once you got into that final sequence with Darth Vader coming onto their ship, that was a direct tie to number four. So everybody who's seen them immediately...
Because they uploaded to their ship, like they were part of the Rebel Alliance, and so they got it because she sent it to them from
the planet.
And so they were trying to run to get it to Princess Leia, which is why they were in such a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They were trying to get it to the Rebel Alliance.
Right.
And she was there, and so they were trying to get it to her so that she could get it back to them.
But Darth Vader showed up, and that's okay. And he
Jimmy Smith
teleported.
Is the one who called her.
Yes. He's Senator Organa.
Yeah.
He's Leia Organa's adopted father.
Yeah.
Anyways, the other thing, there are two other things I would say. The first is that in the previews, she's going out on that rail, and up comes a TIE fighter. Didn't happen in the movie.
Oh, interesting.
Do you know which one I'm talking about? She's limping along. It's supposed to be like,
this
TIE fighter floats up right in front of her. And it's supposed to be this, you know, fight against the thing. And they didn't even, it didn't make the movie, I guess. Didn't make the cut. And then there was something else, but I don't remember what it is.
Well, the other thing that some of those things, I look at them and I just think, you know, I'm going to roll down the windows a little bit. We're going in to get, maybe we won't roll down the windows a little bit because it's really noisy. But we're going in to get some food here in just a minute, so we're going to wrap this up. But the other thing that just tickled the living daylights out of me on some of these things is the difference between set designers and engineers. You know, it's good.
Did you see the PVC chair?
I know, the PVC chair. The PVC, all of us. It's like, did you go to Lowe's to do that?
PVC piping?
Yeah, General, what's his face? His chair was like three pieces of PVC pipe, and he's like,
That was the first thing. The second thing was, well, I'll do them out of order. The second thing was, okay, so we've got to orient the dish. Okay, great. How do we do that? Well, you have to walk out that really long space all the way over to the control tower.
So you can see it.
Which is when the TIE fighter was supposed to come
out. Yeah, so you can see it because we can't give you any instrumentation to let you know whether it's flat or not, you know. And then the third thing was, well, you have to use the handles to retrieve the tapes. What? Are you kidding?
It's a security measure. No, it's a security measure because you don't want just a droid to be able to walk in and access something.
I just thought, you know, back 20 years ago, we had these big racks of tapes that this robot would go, and move the tapes. And it's like, now he's got to do it. And he's got to, I hope I get this right. You know. Anyways, but overall impression, that.
Enjoyed it. I obviously have been living my head in the sand, and I didn't realize that it was another prequel.
Oh, okay.
So I was going in expecting something brand new, Star Wars, and here it's, you know.
Yeah.
So when I started figuring that out, I went, oh, I already know what's going to happen.
Right.
So.
Lizzie?
I think it probably could have been like 20 minutes shorter, because they could have tightened up a little bit. It took me a really long time to like the main guy. Every time he talked, all I could think about was the fact that his jaw wasn't moving. It's just Spawner sucks.
But he is a famous French actor.
Oh, he's French, okay.
Yes,
okay, but the fact that his face didn't move when he was talking.
Yeah.
No, he's from Mexico. I just looked it up.
No.
Born in Mexico City, Diego Luna.
Diego.
Yes.
Oh, Diego Luna. He's a famous
Mexican actor.
But he's famous.
Yeah, he is.
He's famous. Oh, and by the way, the guy who was the Asian,
Donnie Lee.
He's huge kung fu movies Asian. Huge. Anyways.
So I thought the acting was a little rough to start. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he was a little wooden, and I didn't get that connection. Because the first time you're following him through that scene at the beginning, he's obviously Han Solo. Like, he's the Han Solo character. You can tell by the way he's carrying himself, and then he's all...
dick.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
So it took me a while to warm up to the characters.
Yeah.
Then with the extra padding at the beginning, I felt like it was a little slow to get started.
Yeah.
You know, but then once you get into the final thing of the great sacrifices at the end, and you know, nice. I thought it landed nicely.
Well, yeah. I did. That's what I did. I didn't like because I thought, okay, I kind of got interested in these characters, and now you're just gonna.
Now you just killed them off. Which, that's kind of an inside joke, because my latest book, did the same thing.
I mean, I knew going in. Did you know going in? I knew they were all going to die.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were going to die, but I'm expecting that more because, like, you know, if everyone lives, it's not interesting. But
you knew every single one of them was going to die.
Yeah. I didn't know every single one of them was going to die. I
guess if you didn't know that it was a prequel.
Right, if you didn't know it was a prequel.
Yeah.
But the fact that...
Because she says in number four that the lady who is the head of the strategy sessions, she says this came at a great cost.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why
they're all dying.
When the movie started, I leaned over to Liz. I did. I leaned over to you and I said, yeah, I guess we know how this one's going to end.
Yeah.
So anyways, Alan, what do you think?
I felt like I enjoyed it better than number seven. I felt like the connective tissue between the different scenes and vignettes and everything was a little bit stronger. I felt like they did a better job of those pieces fitting together. I had one terrible thought that I probably shouldn't share on that. But I think I leaned
over. Do we need to pause it?
Said it to you.
What? Oh, what?
No, it's terrible. I'll say it anyways.
He's the lead pastor of a church. So,
you know, the end scene is Leia on the spaceship getting ready to fly away. And I leaned over to Liz and said, this is right before she has a heart attack. Which is too soon.
Yeah.
Although I do remember you kind of responding in the movie when there's the revelation that the dad actually built the baby trap into the
vessel. That was the other thing I was going to mention a moment ago. Because that was the other piece that in episode four, there is one glaring weakness that has for decades,
had been
something like, why did they design that into the plan?
Right.
It was something that made the entire ship blow up just by one little small thing. And I thought, okay, well, at least they've used that instead of trying to ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought that was good, too. It was like, hey, you solved that problem for the nitpickers. Thank you very much. So anyways, Amber, overall, what do you think?
I liked it. I think I felt the opposite that you did. Like, I think I was more into it at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got things figured out, then I was like, oh, of course now they're probably going to kiss, but I don't feel that. Like,
did they kiss?
They didn't, but it always felt like there was a point where there were, and I'm like, no, you haven't earned that. We haven't earned that.
Yeah.
Although they are about to die.
Yeah,
so,
that's
right.
You know, so you take what you can get. I mean, that's what it comes down to at that point.
It's just so cheesy that
there's
impending destruction, and they just remove their helmets.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what are they going to do?
I'm just kidding.
We who are about to die kiss you.
Yeah, we who are about to die kiss you. That's right.
I think that, in your book, we earned it, I feel like. At some point, we were like, oh, this is going to happen. We've earned this. But there, I think what Liz is saying is, like, it took them so long to get everything, you know, there, and then all of a sudden it just, like, kind of wrapped up really quickly, I felt like.
Yeah.
In that part where, like, those crucial parts. And then they threw in that extra part, which I guess all makes sense to you, but the Darth Vader part coming in, that did not make sense to me at all.
Right.
I will also throw in, you know, honestly, if they're going to do these little side things, don't try to connect it with the main story.
Or don't do it unless it really makes sense.
Because they did. They had to line up, like, too many things at the end.
Right.
I feel like, I felt like it was just a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, I think it will advance the empire of Lucasfilms and Disney. I don't think there is any question they're going to make a lot of money on the movie. You know, for me, it was fine. There weren't a whole lot of things in it that were delightful.
Well, and that was what I was just going to say. As much as Seven was just a rehash, There were some really fun moments in Seven.
Yes. They really focused on being delightful in Seven. I think even to the detriment of the movie, because there were just some things that didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But they were delightful. And in this, obviously it had to be darker because everyone dies at the end. You know, we expected that. Or at least I expected that because of where it sat in the mythology. But the comedic relief was felt really forced. Mm-hmm. So, but this is new for them. So who knows? We'll see. Anyways, I'm taking everybody out to eat for their thanks for doing this because I'm cheap. So this is Phil Ferrand. We have not made it home, but I have made it to the restaurant. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you later.